You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Guys, it happened. Sean DePaz
is behind
the microphone on the PHNX
D-Back show. You know what time it is.
Derek couldn't be here today, and Jacob was busy. Leah had to produce. There's nobody else in the office.
Sean was the only option
we had, so here we are, everyone. The one and only Sean DePaz is joining us here on the PHNX D-Back show. This show is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one rated sportsbook app. Of course, my name is Jesse Friedman. I'm your vice mayor here. Derek will hopefully be back with us tomorrow, but couldn't make it today. He has some family in town, having some interesting things happening on that front, as he talked about yesterday. But anyway, Sean, we're gonna get started today with an incredible video.
Yes.
Of two children. This is one of the most wholesome things. These kids are avid baseball collectors.
They are opening Gold Label. I got it at the card shop.
Yeah. So were you a big baseball collector?
I was a big baseball collector. Although you said you have dozens of like full binders of baseball cards. Is that accurate?
Big 3-ring binders back home in New York, full of cards. Like I mentioned to you before the show, my crowning like possession is a. Well, I have two. I have my autographed Bo Jackson Kansas City Royals card.
Okay.
And then I also have a Carl Yastrzemski signed baseball from his Triple Crown, one of his Triple Crown winners.
Wow.
So I have some solid baseball memorabilia. I also have a seat back from Fenway Park. But I have never experienced something like this. These kids getting a one of one Shohei Mike Trout card autograph.
Shohei, yeah, I believe it is a rookie card and an autograph card. I guess we're getting a closer look here.
Mike Trout Shohei autograph
it's
card.
Both. Okay, yeah. So it's both. Of them.
It's a one of one.
It is literally a one of one card, and these kids are going absolutely bonkers. I have to admit, most of the best cards that I have in my collection are cards that I just straight up bought.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like in the glass, they have cards you can just straight up buy. So I never experienced this. Yeah, it is both Trout and Otani. It is one of one. It is autographed. You never had an experience quite like this,
Sean? I didn't know what I was doing well enough to have an experience like this, so I wonder if I'm sitting somewhere at home and I have like a Mike Trout rookie card and I just have no clue. Like I bet you I have some like crazy stuff in my cards because I just would like open them and be like, oh, that guy doesn't play for my favorite team, that guy doesn't play for my favorite, and throw them in the binder.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I would just
fair.
Get a bunch of
that's
cards. Fair. So I definitely have more cards that are worth nothing than I have cards that are worth something. Well, maybe somewhere I have a hidden gem somewhere.
Well, at some point, Sean, we're going to have you ship all of your baseball cards in.
Next time I go home, I might try and bring some back.
And then I'll bring mine in. And I don't know if I have anything. I don't have anything.
Maybe some trading
like
with trade training cards?
We could. We could actually trade cards. We could actually trade cards.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I have a Ryan Braun rookie card,
ooh,
which I'm sure our audience is super happy to hear. Yeah. Everyone around here loves Ryan Braun. But anyway, I just love seeing kids just get so hyped up over collecting baseball cards.
Same.
It seems to be kind of coming back in some ways. I'll admit that I collected until I was about 11 or 12 and I haven't really touched it since.
That's kind of where I was.
But I'm glad to see that other people out there are still kind of going for it. Collecting baseball cards used to be just like a timeless pastime,
I'm glad that kids care enough about baseball still to collect baseball cards.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
And these kids are Phillies fans, it appears.
So, yeah.
They're maybe coming off a little bit of heartbreak recently. Yeah. So maybe this helped them bounce back a little bit. We also have some news switching gears here to the hot stove front. A certain player was seen in San Francisco yesterday, Sean. Leah, do we have that video? Aaron Judge, what appears to be a hotel. I know some people are talking about how it appears that he packed a whole lot of stuff for being there for like a few days. I'm curious what you think about that. But here's Aaron Judge being seen in a hotel in San Francisco.
Aaron Judge in San Francisco. What are you doing in the city?
Just visiting some family and friends. That's about it.
Oh, yeah? Any fun plans?
We got something. Have a good one.
You too.
Seeing some family and friends. Huh,
did he hit the camera with a little wink there?
He did.
I was like,
hit the camera with a wink.
I mean, you have to believe he's a San Francisco Giant now, right? There's no way you wink. Like, he knows what he's doing there. He's either messing with all of us or
he's actually there for friends and family. But I don't know. Yeah. I think we might be seeing a lot more Aaron Judge in the NL West.
It's not impossible. Yeah, I did see J.P. Morosi reported earlier today that Aaron Judge did, in fact, not just go to San Francisco to meet with family and friends. He is meeting with the San Francisco Giants today, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see what comes out of that. Sean, do you have any ideas of where you expect Aaron Judge to go? Is San Francisco sort of the destination you have in your head as well?
Well, I think I've made it pretty clear that the destination I have in my head is him being a Boston Red Sox. Not only because I grew up as a Boston Red Sox fan, but he also grew up as a Boston Red Sox fan.
Okay.
I don't know if the Red Sox have any interest in actually spending that kind of money. I doubt he'll actually be a Boston Red Sox, but that's what I'm going to keep telling myself until it happens.
Okay.
But as long as he's not a Yankee, I feel like he's got to be a Giant now, right? Like,
yeah, I'm leaning either Giants or Yankees. I think if he doesn't go back to New York, I think San Francisco is a really viable spot for him. Yeah. The Giants, something that blew my mind, I saw this the other day. The Giants haven't had anyone hit 30 home runs in a season since Barry Bonds.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is pretty wild, yeah.
Like, because I guess Buster Posey had like some 20, 25 homer seasons. Brandon Belt was usually like in that range. But as good as the Giants were like in the early 2010s, yeah, they never had a guy like come in and hit 40 home runs. So I think that would be just an incredible spectacle for them, especially in that ballpark. If anyone could still hit 45 home runs in that ballpark, Aaron Judge is probably the guy. So that's certainly something to watch. Again, he is meeting with the Giants today, so I'm sure we'll get some more news on that front. That's not necessarily surprising. I mean, Aaron Judge was always going to meet with the Giants. Like, this is not really news in some way, but him throwing the wink at the camera there was sort of a funny moment.
Got the wheels turning.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what comes out of that. On the Diamondbacks front, we do have a report from Ken Rosenthal. This is a couple of days old at this point. We didn't talk about it yesterday, though, so I wanted to bring it up. He talked about, it's basically in his article, he's a headline that says, looking for outfielders, call the Diamondbacks.
Yep.
They're the team that has obviously a surplus in that department. We've talked about that a lot. They're particularly well positioned in this offseason's market because there are like no center fielders on the free agent market. It's either you get Brandon Nimmo or you call the Diamondbacks. Yeah. That's, in some ways, that kind of feels like your only two options right now. So the D-backs are very well positioned in that regard. They have a lot of leverage because there aren't a whole lot of other options out there. From what Ken Rosenthal said, it seems like it's a move the Diamondbacks are willing to consider, as we've talked about in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that they mentioned in the article. Obviously, you have to, pretty safe to assume Corbin Carroll is not one of those guys that is in there.
Yeah, he is untouchable, it seems, yes.
But then, yeah, Dalton Varsho, Alec Thomas, and Jake McCarthy. I personally, like, I know Jacob has a different opinion on this.
He doesn't want There's
see
a reason
Alec,
we asked you today instead of him, exactly. Sean.
He doesn't want to see Alec Thomas go anywhere. But like they say in the article, it's going to be hard for the D-backs to get back Varsho's power if they were to trade him away, like the home runs that he had.
Yeah.
I am more inclined to see them get rid of an Alec Thomas or a Jake McCarthy than a Dalton Varsho personally.
Okay.
But it will be interesting to see, because like it is nice that the D-backs are not like, I mean, it's similar to the Coyotes, I guess. Like, they're in a position where they're not great, right? But they have resources, they have materials to trade away.
This is true.
So I'm hopeful, but I'd be shocked if all four of these guys are still on the the Arizona Diamondbacks
really?
When the season starts.
Okay. Okay. So you have faith. That
yeah. I mean,
like
I feel like you have to, especially when you look at last season and how, I know we're going to talk about it, like how bad their pitching was. You need to go get relief pitchers. I feel like trading away one of your biggest surplus is a pretty good way to do it, especially like we were talking about what the free agent market looks like for relief pitchers after the Edwin Diaz contract. I feel like trading for a reliever and probably doing so with one of these outfielders is probably a move.
Mm. That's interesting, opinion. Sean. I can just feel some of our audience members right now going like, I don't know, like the thought of trading away like a Jake McCarthy or a Dalton Varsho or like a name that's that big that has that much value and getting a reliever back is like the centerpiece.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's probably some like natural heartache that would come with that. It would have to be a darn good reliever.
Right?
I mean, you're not doing that for like a 1 year, 2 year rental or something. Yeah. It doesn't matter how good the guy is, but you're right. I mean, the relief market in terms of free agency is very high priced, and it's always high priced in terms of trades too. It seems like you're not really going to get any kind of a deal on that front. Brian says Liam Hendricks would be kind of nice. That's certainly a name that's been floating out there. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens on that front. I think I'm with you. And then I lean maybe 60-40 toward the Diamondbacks doing actually pulling off a trade with one of the outfielders. I don't have, that's sort of just my own personal hunch. But yeah, when you have something that so many other teams need and they don't really have another great way to get it, you're really dealing from a position of power there. So it's an opportunity that the Diamondbacks are definitely searching out. Another factor here, and I know maybe some of you clicked on this video because of the clickbaity headline that says, you know, the Diamondbacks making the playoffs in 2023 is maybe not as far-fetched as you think. We're going to get into that more in our next segment, but part of that I want to talk about now is the fact that the Los Angeles Dodgers are losing a lot of players. You look at their list of free agents that are on their way out. It's Trey Turner. It's Justin Turner, Craig Kimbrell, Joey Gallo, of course, Cody Bellinger. Maybe that's even almost addition by subtraction in a sense. He was not one of their better players. Andrew Heaney gave them a lot of value in sort of a long relief role this year, though. And they also already lost Tyler Anderson to the Angels. So there's a lot of guys missing from this 2022 roster going into 2023. There's also the fact that Walker Buehler, I believe, will miss the entire 2023 season. So they've lost some rotation depth there. We're not going to sit here and pretend that the Dodgers are just going to go into next year with the same team, right? Like they're going to make some moves this offseason. And, they've been talking with Justin Verlander. Have you heard of this, Sean? I can't pronounce his last name.
Really?
It's sort of a thing on the show. Justin Verlander is a guy that the Dodgers might look at trying to acquire, and I'm sure that they'll pull off a deal or two with some of the bigger names. But at least right now, it looks like a team that might be a little bit more beatable going into next year.
Yeah, I mean, it is nice, right? Because you look at the D-backs trajectory; they're obviously getting closer and closer to competing in this division. They're not the Dodgers yet, even with losing all these pieces, they're not close to the Dodgers. But it's nice to see that they are not like just going to remain a juggernaut forever as you come closer to competing.
Yeah.
You think any of these people could end up being an Arizona Diamondback? Any of the names?
Any of the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Justin Turner makes a little bit of sense, right? Like the right-handed hitting third baseman. He's also really old.
Also true.
38, I want to say. He's going into his age 38 season. I think Andrew Heaney is sort of interesting. The D-backs don't have a whole lot of depth in terms of lefties. He put up some incredible strikeout numbers this last year with LA. So, no, I'm not going to say that, Ben. No, I'm not playing this
game. Newfoundland?
there we go. Sean said it, so I don't have to. I think Andrew Heaney and Justin Turner are maybe the names that stick out the most. Obviously, Trey Turner is not a realistic option. Craig Kimbrell, I guess, is sort of interesting.
Right.
He wasn't very good last year for the Dodgers, which is, it's kind of weird. I mean, they traded AJ Pollock. They traded AJ Pollock to the White Sox. They got Craig Kimbrell back, and both sides of that trade really didn't turn out very well. Pollock had a down year with Chicago, but we'll see. I don't necessarily see any of those as like jackpot pieces for the Diamondbacks. But in terms of just what the Dodgers still have going into next year, you know, it's Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, and Will Smith. There are worse trios.
Yeah, I was going to say, so those guys are good at baseball.
It's not bad. It's not bad. In terms of the rotation, they still have Julio Urias, of course, finished top five in Cy Young voting, Tony Gonsolin. They did bring back Clayton Kershaw. Dustin May is in the mix as well, although it seems like they can't get more than about 30 innings a year from him. He's struggled with injuries the last few years. But yeah, I don't know. It at least gives a little bit more hope on the D-backs front that, like, they're going to make some additions this winter, but maybe some of those pieces are a little bit more volatile than this Dodgers machine that hasn't had that much turnover the last 5 or 10 years. It seems like they're bringing back a lot of the same players year after year. So maybe this opens the door for the D-backs, Sean. I'm not saying division title here, but at least maybe you don't
some
go
more competitive games.
Yeah, maybe you don't go 4-15 against the Dodgers. Although I guess they're playing fewer games against them next year, also. So there's also that fact.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't know I don't know how the other D-backs fans are. I dislike the Dodgers, so even if it's not the D-backs,
you're the only one,
right?
Sean.
But I'm saying even if it's not the D-backs winning the division, like, even if it means that someone not named the Dodgers winning the division, like, that'll make me happier. Like, if the Padres win the division, I'm a little happier that it's just finally not the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So that is even something to look forward to, right? Like we said, obviously the D-backs are not going to be competing for a division championship or a division title next year, but maybe
we haven't
someone
gotten to the next segment yet, Sean.
Yeah,
we don't know yet.
But obviously, hopefully, it's just not the Dodgers. I would like to see that. I don't want to call them a dynasty because you got to win to be a dynasty, and they've only won one ring because they continually choke, neither here nor there. But yeah, like Charles said, anyone but LA. If the Padres, Aaron Judge's Giants, whoever, as long as it's not the Dodgers.
Aaron Judge, I think the Dodgers have showed some interest there as well. Sure. But we'll see how things turn out on that front. But yeah, I agree with you. I think at least as of today, like, I feel pretty much maybe even better about the Padres' chances in the NL West, depending, of course, on what the Dodgers and the Padres do this offseason. My guess is the Dodgers will probably still be the favorite when all is said and done. But there's certainly a lot of movement to come there. We'll have to see what happens. Four Peaks is hosting crazy numbers of events for us right now. We were out there today at 8 a.m.
Yep.
I'm told people went to Four Peaks this morning at 8 a.m. to watch soccer.
2 hours before they even actually opened.
Yeah, which remains wild to me. But that just tells you, everyone, how great our friends over at Four Peaks are. We are teaming up with them to host all U.S. and Mexico World Cup matches at their 8th Street Pub. Be sure to check the link in the show notes in order to register for free. A lot of perks, Sean. We've got beer specials, giveaways, guest appearances. I believe the head coach of Phoenix Rising was out there today.
Yeah,
with
Wangero,
the crew, which is really an incredible get. $3 kilt lifter, Wow Wheat pints. We have Mexico versus Argentina coming up this Saturday at noon. I also believe that there's a USA match on Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't even know what the World Cup schedule is, but if there's a game, go to Four Peaks.
If you listened to the show yesterday, you know how little I actually understand about the game of soccer. So I'm probably not the one to be dishing out this information, but if you are a fan and you want to catch a Mexico or USA game, there's no better place to go than over at Four Peaks. And again, they were out there just this morning at 8 a.m. So seemed like a pretty electric environment for a sport that I still don't understand why people like. But anyway, Sean, have you had any fabulous OGs experiences recently that you'd like to share with our audience?
I have. I do on a pretty consistent basis. The OGs experience I'm looking forward to the most is going to happen in 2 days because I am going to make myself a nice chicken casserole. I'm going to partake in some OGs and just sit back and vibe and watch football on Thanksgiving. So that's what I'm excited for.
Okay.
It is. It's just, especially when you're alone. I like being alone sometimes, and I like being off the OGs and being alone. It's a vibe.
Okay.
I may or may not have been off the OGs last night when I watched a movie that we'll talk about later. So maybe that impacts my opinion of the movie. We'll see. But it's just, I don't know. Honestly, whatever you're doing, as long as you're 21 and being responsible, the OGs make it better. Flavors life.
Be sure to check out our friends over at OGs Brands on Instagram. You can also find them at your local dispensary. Must be 21 plus to enjoy. And yes, as Sean has described, apparently if you're watching a movie, there's no better way to go than partaking of our friends over at OGs. We're going to go ahead and jump in, Sean, to a segment I'm excited for because there's a little bit more reason for optimism going into 2023 than even I anticipated. Basically, our friend Jack Summers over at Inside the D-backs does a great job, has become a really good friend of mine. He did some research where he basically took Steamer projections, which is just like player projections, just a bunch of data on how players will perform in 2023. And the only issue with Steamer is that a lot of times it's guesses at how much playing time every player will get is just totally bonkers. And it's like, okay, this is not usable. Like, you know, Tommy Henry's not going to throw 240 innings next year or whatever. I don't think it projected that, but you get the idea. So he basically went in and he took Steamer projections, but he prorated them based on a more realistic allotment of playing time. And the results are pretty insane. Leah, can we get our first graphic? It's basically this is the smaller one that just kind of gives the breakdown. Here it is. So generally speaking, if you have an entirely replacement level baseball team, so we're talking wins above replacement, if it comes out as just an even zero, on average, you would win 47.6 games per year. I did not come up with this, but apparently it's a thing. You would win about 48 games if you had an entire team of Pavin Smiths, basically. He's roughly a replacement level player.
That sounds like so exciting. It sounds like great baseball.
There you go. Yeah. The Diamondbacks, according to this projection, which is from Steamer and then also compiled by our friend Jack Summers, the Diamondbacks are projected to have 11.1 total wins above replacement from their pitching staff and then 25.1 from their position players, which is a really big number. 25 is a significant amount of war to get from your position player core. You add those numbers together, Sean, you basically just take that 47.6 plus those two numbers to try to figure out how many wins the D-backs would project to have in 2023. It's 83.8.
Uh-huh.
And that's with the current roster. That's not the Diamondbacks having gone out and really done anything to their bullpen, right? That's without having a third baseman. I think there's still a right-handed power hitter to be had here at some point over the offseason. They're already at 84 wins.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I originally saw this, Sean. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I was shocked by it too. But I mean, think about last season. Like, I mean, I know this is assuming it's like the same bullpen, but the bullpen was like, dude, they win just like half of their games. They're closer to this number. So like, it's not that surprising. I mean, I think you mentioned it the other day, like you get a full season of Corbin Carroll, you get more of these young pitchers getting brought up, stuff like that. Obviously the depth in the outfield in general, just like, it is shocking. Like when you first look at it, but I mean, when you think about it, I don't think it's that unrealistic. Like, they're not that bad of a team.
No,
they're not. They're really not that bad. You look at last year, there was times where they were like a legitimately good team. So I would like to see it. It's nice to see a number that starts with an 8 and is not single digits as their win prediction.
And is not single digits.
Not single digits. Not that I've seen single digit production.
The Diamondbacks are projected to go 8 and 154. Sean has seen some rough
fun
days.
With that. But no, I mean, I would like to see it. I don't think it's that unrealistic. And like you said, there's still moves to be made. This team is going presumably going to get better. Hopefully add or make changes to the bullpen, get that power hitter that you mentioned. Like that happens, watch out.
Yeah.
San Francisco Giants for third place, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to get crazy and sit here and predict they're going to win the division, but you never know. Well, I mean, when Aaron Judge and Justin Turner and Craig Kimball and all of them are Arizona Diamondbacks, that number's probably going to go
there
way
you
up,
go.
But
yeah, there you go.
We'll see. We'll see.
Jack Summers is actually in the comments with us. He just said, shocked the hell out of me too. So yeah, we're right there with you, Jack. If we look at the breakdown for pitchers in particular, there are a few things that stand out here. The biggest one being, I know this might be a little bit small if you're on your phone right now, but one of the underlying assumptions here that Jack will admit is that Madison Bumgarner is projected for 85 innings. So there is an underlying assumption here that the Diamondbacks don't pitch Madison Bumgarner for an entire season. And you can see in this projection, we have 120 innings for Brandon Pfaadt, 120 innings for Dre Jameson, 120 innings for Ryan Nelson. Obviously, those are just guesses. Yeah. Like, you're not most likely, you know, two of those guys wind up way above that number. Maybe one of them hardly pitches at all and struggles. Obviously, you're just kind of taking a shot at the dark here.
Yeah.
But as expected, most of the war is coming from Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, which it also did this last year. This last year, it was basically Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly combined for about 8 war, and the rest of the entire pitching staff was basically replacement level. There really wasn't a whole lot of value with anyone else. But does anything stand out to you, Sean, looking at all the pitchers here?
Nothing stands out. Seeing Madison Bumgarner is the, what, 6th name there? And so assuming that we have five guys in this rotation that are pitching more than him is exciting. I'm ready for Madison Bumgarner to pack his bags and get up out of here. It's nothing really surprising, right? Like you said, obviously Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly are going to be those two guys as far as war is concerned. But it is just that's the big thing for me is it'd be nice to get full seasons out of some of these young guys and not really have to worry about Madison Bumgarner being like a full-blown part of this rotation. Yeah.
And that is my current expectation. Yeah. Like if I'm a betting man, I probably take the under on 100 innings for Madison Bumgarner. I think that, you know, the Diamondbacks have said that incumbency matters, and coming into spring training, I think he will have a leg up in terms of getting a roll out of the gate. But that doesn't mean he's going to pitch the whole year in the starting rotation, right? So I think they'll set the bar high there, and they're not going to give him more innings than his performance actually warrants. Another thing I want to mention, I guess for those of you joining us on audio, don't see the numbers. These projections are not that crazy. Like Merrill Kelly's projected to have a 4.26 ERA. Zach Gallen's projected to have a 3.76 ERA. Those are actually like on the lower end, I would probably say, especially for Zach Gallen. I think at this point, like an ERA just under 4 would be kind of a down year for him.
Yeah.
Which projection systems tend to do. I mean, Zach Gallen wasn't great 2 years ago, but he was really good this past year. So, you know, it's going to kind of live in the middle of those two things. But yeah, these numbers are honestly very realistic. And that's why I'm so shocked looking at them. Yeah. Like, wait, how do you get to 84 wins with like these numbers not even being that crazy? If we look at the offensive side of things, there's a few things that stand out there as well. Again, this has Jack's like playing time allotments built in here. Nothing too crazy here either. I mean, Christian Walker projected for 2.6 WAR. He was up over 4 this last year. Jake McCarthy 2.3 over a full season, which is also lower than what he was on pace for this last year. Dalton Varsho 3.2. Corbin Carroll 3. I guess that's one of the ways that you're getting more value out of this team next year is a full year of Corbin Carroll. I think Corbin Carroll could be better than a 3 WAR player even in next season, given how good he was. Do you think 2.8 is high for Ketel Marte, Sean? Do you feel bullish? Is that too bullish?
I don't know. It's just you don't know what Ketel Marte you're going to get. I feel like Jacob
wants to say something, everyone.
That Nick Ahmed salary literally makes me want to vomit. makes me want to vomit.
10.4?
Just second on the team. For position players.
Yeah, second on the team for position players. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I mean, it's not that bad.
Oh, it's bad.
Wow. All right, Jacob. I mean, he's projected for 1 WAR, right? He's projected for 1 WAR, and 1 WAR generally equates to about $8 million on the free agent market, eight and a half. So if you're paying a 1 WAR player $10 million, you're probably overpaying him a little bit. Yeah. But it's not, I don't think it's as egregious as what Jacob. Don't listen to him.
No, I'm not listening.
He's just upset because he wasn't invited on the show.
He's just very jealous.
But Ketel Marte, I mean, like, I think it might be a little generous, the prediction they had there, but like also, I don't think he's going to be as bad as he was last year. Like, at least I'm hoping he's not.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, a little further removed from getting that contract. Plus, I feel like, and once you got into the heart of last season, this was the case, but like coming into the season, like, I feel like people don't really care about Ketel Marte the way they used to in terms of like people are putting more emphasis on all the young outfielders and they're going to be paying more attention to the bullpen. And obviously now Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have high expectations. Like, I feel like Ketel Marte is not as big of a part of the expectations that fans might have for the D-back coming in this year. So hopefully I obviously don't. I'm only speculating as to why he didn't play well last year, but hopefully not having the looming presence of the new contract and the pressure and stuff like that, hopefully that allows him to play a little better. Time will tell. But definitely a little generous, but hopefully it's not as generous as your gut reaction might tell you it is.
Yeah. I think 2.8, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think 2.8 is a little higher than what he did this last year, but But yeah, I mean, he was great in 2021, right? So again, these projection systems kind of live in the middle and kind of average things out, and that's where these numbers come from. But yeah, we're not saying, I mean, the D-backs winning 84 games, this projection overall is not contingent on Ketel Marte bouncing back and having a 900 OPS and getting MVP votes again, right? Like, we're not expecting that. Someone in the comments mentioned, I think it was Ryan mentioned Thomas at 2.4 would be nice. Which that was one of the numbers that stuck out to me as well. Alec Thomas was about a one WAR player this last year, a little bit below one. The defense is obviously great, but offensively, he really struggled toward the end of the year. I'm with you, Ryan, that 2.4, I think, would be a great get from Alec Thomas. And he certainly has the ceiling to do a lot more than that. I mean, he was a very highly touted prospect. I don't think I'd be shocked if he did better than that. But there's also a chance you have to acknowledge, like, maybe Alec Thomas comes into next year and continues to struggle to hit major league pitching. Sometimes it takes guys multiple years to really figure this out. So that's probably something to tap the brakes on a little bit as well. The other number that stuck out to me, Sean, was 2.1 for Carson Kelly. That would be a pretty big bounce back year for Carson. Obviously, this last year was not great for him. He had injuries once again that kind of hindered him. Where do you stand in terms of your feelings on Carson Kelly at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think you saw for, what was it, July or June last year where he had that like really good month. Like, you know that he's
like everyone was ready to give up on him. And he hit like 350 for a month or something. And it was like, okay, all right.
So, I mean, like, you know he's capable there. I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think you're going to get that. Like, I don't think at any point we're going to get that kind of production consistently from Carson Kelly. But I think it could kind of average out a little bit more where he plays a little bit better. It's just, I don't know. I feel like there's so many questions. Like, it's just like a time will tell kind of thing. But I think it will be a little bit better than last year.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me being hopeful, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like the D-backs are more targeting a backup catcher than they are starting catcher. I think the plan is to roll with Carson Kelly moving forward, which probably makes sense. I mean, like we talked about yesterday, he has this every other year thing going on where he was great in 2019, not good in 2020. Then he was great again in 2021, not so great last year. Maybe 2023 is the year that he is able to find things again and get back on track. But yeah, the way that I see this, I mean, if you're at 84 wins right now, I think it's pretty reasonable the D-backs could add three or four more WAR over the offseason in trades. Or free agent signings. And I know for those of you who are not so analytics inclined out there, you might be, I don't know, just like yelling at me deep down because you're tired of me talking about WAR numbers. But I mean, this is a pretty good way of kind of projecting where a team is at moving forward. Jack told me the other day that roughly around 40 is about the amount of WAR you need overall on your team in order to really be in the mix for the playoffs. The D-backs are at 36. So if you can find a way to get another four, which is actually like pretty realistic, if the D-backs are a little more aggressive than maybe they might be, there's a way where you really could be kind of right on the edge of the postseason picture next year. And if you get some unexpected breakouts, you know, if Corbin Carroll has a 5 WAR season, if Zach Gallen has a 6 WAR season, like, there are some breakouts and then that could happen that could really push the team even further. Unfortunately, you don't make the playoffs like in a vacuum. Like, what other teams do also makes sense. We can't just play the numbers game and say, hey, if the D-backs add 4 WAR, they're a playoff team.
It helps that they're playing the Dodgers less.
It does. It absolutely does. So just kind of looking at the projected postseason picture for next year, I see the Dodgers, the Braves, the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Padres.
Yes.
At least for me. I'm curious if there are any other teams that you would throw in there or any teams that maybe you'd take off the list. But those teams are probably going to make the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I feel like all of those are pretty close to locks. I mean, the Phillies were just in the World Series, so like...
Yeah, I recognize I didn't even have the Phillies in there.
Yeah, so like, they'll probably be in the playoffs too. I mean, obviously, the NL East is going to keep being interesting. I think those are the only ones you can lock in because I feel like the NL Central is just so like... I don't know, whoever sucks the least kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I feel like those are probably the locks. I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone there that, like, there's no one on that list that I feel comfortable that the D-backs are going to, like,
right,
push past, right? Like, I feel like some things have to go their way, but
yeah. And that's where we kind of have to tap the brakes a little bit here and recognize, like, okay, you know, 84 is a nice win projection, but how are you pushing yourself ahead of any of these other teams? So, and there's other teams in the mix too. Obviously, the Phillies, although it sounds like they might be missing Bryce Harper for a decent portion of the year. Given that somehow he needs Tommy John surgery, not a pitcher, but
look at the Phillies last year, they weren't good at first. So they can clearly can afford to not play well right away.
Yeah, that's true. They were not a very good baseball team toward the beginning of the year. The Brewers are probably also going to be in the mix on some level, at least. They were an above 500 team this last year. The Giants, if the Aaron Judge thing happens, I think they're certainly in the conversation. They would maybe be a step above the D-backs at that point. The Chicago Cubs have also been linked to some of the bigger names in free agency. So the competition is tough. Even with the extra wild card spot, it's still not like, if the D-backs win 85 games, they're in. It's not really at all the case. So
I mean, you talked about the Dodgers might get worse, but Padres get Tatis back. Don't know what it's going to look like, but they get him back. Yeah. And then if the Giants get Aaron Judge, like, those are the Dodgers and then the two teams above you improving. So it definitely makes it harder, but like, that's not the goal, right? Like, we're not sitting here being like, this is the year for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like, they still have time. The window's not open yet. So as long as the improvement, like, that's why last year was so exciting for me, is like, they just showed that they were moving in the right direction. That's all you can really ask for right now. Like, you're not expecting them to become a contender overnight.
I just think the timeline is like maybe a little bit more accelerated than what I had in my head.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I had coming into this, I had this next season is like, you know, you might have a shot at being 500 of a thing. Yeah. Like, and I think there is still some merit to that, which I'll be writing about over the course of the next few weeks. I think there are a couple of things that I picked up on over the course of the year. Certain players might be due for a little bit of regression. So stay tuned on that. I think there are still some reasons to tap the brakes on that front. But overall, I mean, if this team comes out and just wins 84 games next year, even with the offseason moves that are still yet to be made, I think a lot of people would be really excited about that. So there's a lot of excitement to come. We still have to review Major League, which I know is why at least half of you are even here today. But first, I want to tell you about the fact that it is Thanksgiving in 2 days. And of course, there's no better time to use the DraftKings Sportsbook app than during the Thanksgiving holiday when everyone is watching football, which is another sport that I don't fully understand why people like. But you all should download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code PHNX. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code PHNX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
You know who's
Max is lingering in the shadows. He's giving me a thumbs up. I think he's just checking up on me because last time I botched all the ad reads when I was here. So Max is happy with me. So I guess that's good.
I know you don't know a lot about football, so I'm going to give this to you for free. If you are using the DraftKings Sportsbook app on Thanksgiving, hammer the Buffalo Bills against the Detroit Lions. They're going to roll.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Where is that game happening?
In Detroit. The Bills play in Detroit twice in 5 days.
Is that the one that was moved?
Yeah, the Bills. No, the on Sunday they had moved from Buffalo to Detroit. This game was also already scheduled to play in Detroit.
It
just so happened that it lined up. They're playing twice in a week in Detroit.
Do you miss Buffalo, Sean, where they just got like six?
Missing Buffalo, and then my mom started sending me videos of her not being able to leave the house. Don't miss that. Don't miss having to shovel off a car or be the man of the house and have to shovel. Like, I love you, Mom, but I'm glad I don't have to do that for you anymore.
I've never shoveled a driveway
it
in my
is
life.
Not
and I,
fun.
I am so happy about that. It is not only Thanksgiving this week, it is also Black Friday coming up, which of course you all predicted this. Nobody's surprised. But of course we're gonna have some of deals happening over at the PHNX Locker. So check out the PHNX Locker on Black Friday. Save up to 90% off of everything. And when you spend $75, get a $15 gift card. Mob on over to the PHNX Locker. Hit the link in the description to start adding stuff to your cart. It should be a great day.
Black Friday, I'm about to stock up.
Yeah, there is no better day to stock up on all your PHNX merch than Black Friday itself. Also, become a diehard. We still have that little logo on the screen. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. You all should become a diehard if you have not already. There are so many perks, Sean.
Yeah.
You get discounts at all of our events, all of our tailgates, pretty much everything that we do that costs money. You're pretty much going to receive a discount on all of it. Plus, you'll get access to each of our weekly newsletters, which is our written content that is staying behind the paywall. Most of it is out, but there is some written content still behind the paywall. My first newsletter will be going out tomorrow.
Ooh,
so
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, yeah. Writing about Zach Gallen and maybe how he can take a next take the next step in 2023. So if you're not already a diehard, be sure to head over to gophnx.com and get on that. But it's time for everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's not your favorite segment, but cue the graphic, Leah, because it's time for Jesse Hasn't Seen It, which Sean, I assume you knew this about me. I don't really watch
movies. Yeah, so I've heard. I'm also kind of in the same vein. I had seen Major League, but there are a lot of movies that I haven't seen, so I feel
me
you.
Me too. This feels like a safe space right now.
Yeah, it is a safe space. But this is a very good movie, so I'm especially for a baseball guy, I'm excited that you finally got to watch it.
And you watched it again last night?
Yeah, I watched it again last night.
In preparation?
In preparation, just to refresh myself. That's my favorite baseball movie. It's just, I love that movie.
So we're going to do it a little bit different today. I picked out like a bunch of screenshots from the movie that I think are the ones I could easily find on the internet.
Yeah.
And the ones that I thought were particularly interesting that stood out to me. Before I get into that, though, I need to point out that like toward the beginning of the film, when they're scheming about how to make the Cleveland Indians bad and how they want to be in last place and everything, I have to acknowledge I was kind of thinking of the Cincinnati Reds coming into 2022, who I believe started the year. The Reds finished the year kind of okay-ish, but they started the year like 3-22
yeah, like
or something ridiculous.
Bad. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember Jeff Passan, I went back and found an article. Jeff Passan wrote an article about how it is tanking at its ugliest,
yeah.
Was what the Reds were doing coming into this year. And then the Reds like kind of started winning, mm-hmm. right? So it reminded me of what's going on in Major League, where like the goal is to lose. And it's like, gosh darn it, like why is Brandon Drury so good, right?
At
like
the Arizona Coyotes. That's what they like to do, just win games that they have no business winning.
Right, right.
To ruin
yeah.
the tank.
Right. There's also a connection there. The first screenshot, though, that I have picked out is, of course, this iconic moment. This is the just a bit outside moment, which I had no idea.
Just a bit outside.
Coming into this, I had no idea that
this
is the movie I was from.
All the time. Like, if anyone's throwing something and I don't even know in what context I really use it, but if someone like is trying to throw something in the trash can and they miss, they're trying to throw me something and they miss, I'm like, just a bit outside.
Screenshot number two. All right, so we have to have a conversation here about the managerial tactics for the end of this game. This dude is exhausted. I mean, it is the ninth inning. You could just tell visually at how exhausted he is and the fact that he should no longer be pitching in this game. This is Eddie Harris, for those of you joining us on audio. Can we go to the next one, Leah? This is Eddie Harris. Like, this is not...
This is the old man.
I'm not going to be too judgmental here, Sean, because I don't necessarily have the build that is necessary to play professional sports. But this man is not a professional major league pitcher. There is no way.
No, but I guess that was kind of the point, right? They were trying to get people that weren't really major league pitchers. But
that's true.
Yeah, no, he is just an old man. The thing that's crazy, when you look at like the last screenshot, he gave up 2 runs in the 7th inning of a pennant-clinching game. Why, like you said, the managerial decisions. Like, why is he still in the ninth? I don't understand that. And then you go in, who are you going to replace him with? The guy that's just struggled against the Yankees his entire career. You didn't start him for that exact reason. Then you pull him in, and obviously it works out because it's a movie, but the managerial decisions were definitely questionable.
Questionable. Questionable for sure. And it was also the bases were loaded, right? When they put him in.
Yeah.
And he's
who are you bringing? The guy that struggles with his control.
Yeah, he's the guy who has no fastball command, which we'll get into a little bit later. The other thing that bothered me toward the end of the game, which I don't have a screenshot for, is that really the best move was to have Jake Taylor bunt.
I didn't understand that.
And have Willie Mays Hayes steal third and then try to score from second on a bunt.
It was pretty wild. I love the quick shot of the third baseman be like, oh shit, like he didn't expect him to bunt. Like that was gonna make that big of a difference. They were playing like underdogs though. You know, you just gotta got to try something.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It was a pretty wild move.
A base knock up the middle, like an under. That's still like in line with an underdog tail, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you it can is at least wild. Swing
and also,
the bat.
If you were gonna bunt, like you probably would bring in somebody who bunts. Like you probably wouldn't just let your catcher try and bunt for a single. Like if you're gonna play strategically, like you're gonna get a pinch hitter or something.
And he's the guy with bad knees, right?
Yeah,
you're have betting him, on him to beat him the run, throw to first base. Exactly. Like
it was a pretty wild move, but. Yeah, it's a movie, you know.
It's a movie. It's slack. True. I'm probably getting too dramatic. The other thing is, I have to acknowledge that the entrance for Ricky Vaughn at the
wild
at the
thing,
end, the wild thing. Yeah, this is an absolutely epic moment of the movie, and of course, it reminded me of none other than Edwin Diaz making his epic entrance this year for the New York Mets. Edwin Diaz, of course. Derek impersonated it, for goodness sake. We made a video trying to impersonate it. So my question to you, Sean, is which entrance do you think is better between Edwin Diaz and Ricky Vaughn and the Wild Thing music and all that stuff?
It's tough. It is a genuinely hard question. The thing I like about Wild Thing is that you got the whole crowd singing. Like, obviously, the crowd was, like, imitating the trumpet thing for Edwin Diaz, but, like, you got the whole crowd screaming Wild Thing. Plus
there's
like
lyrics, like they can kind of be a part of
plus
it a
like
bit
brought
more.
People together. Like there's the scene where you got like the wild like punk rocker person like hugging like just a regular baseball fan, like it brought people together. Wild Thing. So it's probably got a slight edge just because you can sing it, but I mean Edwin Diaz thing is just it's so good, like it's such a good song, but I'll give the edge to Wild Thing.
Okay. Josh Hunt says Wild Thing is my ringtone for my wife.
I like it.
That's incredible. So I also came up with the character that I think most resembles Sean and the character that I think most resembles me as well. So for the character that most resembles Sean, do you have a guess?
I mean, I feel like it's got to be, right? Not a whole lot of diversity in the movie, and B, he's flashy, he's fast, he's a little cocky and confident. Like I relate.
He has the mustache going too.
He has the mustache going too, which I currently have against my own will, but it is what it is. But no, I think personality wise, he is the one that I definitely relate to the most because. He's going to go out there and talk his shit, and then he's going to back it up. That's what I like to do. I like to talk my shit, and then I back it up. So
of course, we're talking about Willie Mays. Guess we should actually say that. So as far as the character that most resembles me, I really like went over this over and over and over again, and I really couldn't settle on anyone that really made a whole lot of sense. So the conclusion I came to was this is actually going back to the Just a Bit Outside screenshot from – not this one, the one with the So I'm not Harry Doyle.
Yeah, the numbers guy.
I'm the other guy.
Yeah.
Who's just kind of sitting there, right? Like Harry Doyle is sort of like Derek.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like the guy sitting there, like nodding and smiling and you know chiming
Derek's
in every now and then.
You can't say that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That was, I don't know. Are there any other characters that you think are like me in this movie that I miss on this show?
No, that's probably the best one. I don't know because I don't know because there's not really anyone like you because everyone else is kind of like a little problematic in their own way and I wouldn't describe you as problematic. I mean, the only one that I could even like the general manager, I forget his name, or like the GM that the owner hires.
Okay.
But like he's a little too like fanny and like rooting for the team, which is not necessarily like obviously you're pro diving,
sure.
But not necessarily your stick.
Right.
But I feel like the numbers guy in the booth is probably the best comparison.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I don't even know that guy's name.
I don't remember his name either. I bet I could find it, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, it's whoever's sitting next to Harry Doyle in the broadcast booth. He semi looks like me, sort of.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. But of course, the biggest part of all of this is my stat breakdown. So that's the last graphic that we have here. So of course, Voodoo in him had to be 100 on this, Sean. There was no debate there. The Jumbotron animations were top notch.
Yeah, they were very good.
I didn't necessarily want to put a grade on like the quality of like the cinematography or anything, but I was like, those Jumbotron animations were top notch.
Notice those on a number of occasions during the movie.
Ricky Vaughn's fastball command we have coming in at 14 on the 0 to 100 scale.
Yeah.
It was great when it mattered,
I guess. He got his glasses, they were pretty good. But yeah, originally it was not good. Oh, side note, I think it was hilarious in the opening, like the spring training part of this movie, where he throws 96 miles per hour. It's like one of the worst pitches. Like, it's just like 10 feet above the pitcher or the batter's head. And they're like, oh, we got to have this guy because he's throwing 96 miles per hour. Which is obviously good speed, but it's not necessarily speed. It's going to make you be like, we need to have this, even though the guy can't. He doesn't know how to hit the broadside of a barn. I just thought that was a little funny.
Charles Woodall Pike says 14 is too high for Ricky Vaughn's fastball. At least at the beginning of the movie, that's probably fair. My over, I guess I should give the other one. So rewatchability, I have at 62. I would watch it again.
Yeah, like I've watched it probably like 3-4 times in my life.
If I had a friend who hadn't seen it somehow, although I'm pretty sure I'm the only person in the world who likes baseball and hadn't seen it, so maybe that wouldn't happen, but I would watch it again. I thought the plot was pretty decent overall. I have that at 68. Overall, I'm giving it a 74, Sean, on the 0 to 100 scale.
Yeah.
You thought that was too low?
I mean, it's my favorite baseball movie ever. I mean, it... Like I told you, like we talked about off air, there's parts of it that did not age particularly well, but you know, it's an old movie. But I just it's my favorite baseball movie. I would have given it at least an 80. But
okay.
It's your rating, it's not mine. Okay. I've seen the movie before.
The Sandlot, I had more fun watching.
That's fair.
They just say so many funny things.
That's fair.
And I don't know. I think that movie, it's probably just my personality. That movie just kind of jived with me a little bit better than this one did. But it was significantly better than I thought it was going to be. I honestly came in with pretty low expectations.
Yeah, I feel like now when you see a movie that's led by Charlie Sheen, it's like, how is this going to go?
Yeah,
And then it is also an old movie. But yeah, I could see that. I could understand why you would have had low expectations going into it. I also like the Arizona references because like the spring training is in Arizona
it's
and you
in
see
Tucson,
like
I think.
Valley
yeah.
National Bank and there's like a Tucson ad on the taxi. So I did notice that, but yeah, I love it. It like I said, it is my favorite baseball movie.
Josh says Sandlot better for sure, but Major League is fantastic. Angels in the outfield next or what's
another
I
good
have,
one.
I have already seen you Angels have? In the okay. outfield, so I don't know if I don't think we're allowed to do movies that I've already seen.
Yeah, no, you have to. It's got to be a first watch.
What are the other big iconic baseball movies?
Bad News Bears.
Haven't seen that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, is that.
Oh, the one I really want to watch is Field of Dreams.
Okay,
actually.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Field of Dreams.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't. The Natural. Which, fun fact, shot in Buffalo, New York.
Ooh.
Just saying.
There you go.
Yeah, there's obviously Major League 2, Benchwarmers.
Do the sequels get worse?
I don't know if I've ever seen Major League 2, to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen the sequel. What else? There's a big one that I'm missing that I can't. Oh, League of Their Own is tremendous. But there was one I was thinking of, and it just left my brain. Yeah. Oh, you've seen Moneyball?
I've seen Moneyball.
Okay. Yeah,
of course
yeah.
I've seen Moneyball.
Yeah, I figured. Your alley. Yeah. Yeah, there's a pretty solid base. I would argue that baseball has like the best sports movie of all time, Miracle, hockey. But
I'd say
that baseball has, in general, the best sports movies.
It has a pretty solid group. I'm beginning to learn that more and more as the days go by. I don't really want to watch Major League 2 right now.
Bull Durham is another one I haven't seen.
Field of Dreams is like, I'm not also, Elizabeth says it's overrated. I'm not really expecting it to be that great, but it's more just that like, these last 2 years when we've had the Field of Dreams game. And it's like this iconic thing for so many people. And I just don't understand.
I'm the same way.
What are they doing? Like, can I have a catch? Like, what does that even mean?
Can we have a catch? Just say play catch.
Yeah.
Speak like a normal human. I've never asked somebody to have a catch. That you're just going to throw the ball once and they're going to catch it one time. And that's the end of it. Just so you have a catch. And then I know like the build it and they will come thing. But I don't know. The Rookie is another one that I really like.
I have seen The Rookie.
Yeah.
I have seen The Rookie. The Rookie is an excellent movie. Maybe we'll go Field of Dreams
have
next.
Have you seen League? Oh, 42. 42
is excellent. Yeah, that's, I have seen 42.
Have you seen League of Their Own?
I have not seen League of
Their Own. Yeah, that's another very good one.
I have a lot of work to do. This is going to take the whole off-season.
Yeah.
If we do these once a week, we're never going to run out. maybe we'll go Field of Dreams next so that I finally understand what the Field of Dreams
is. Yeah, I might have to watch it myself. I don't know if I'll be invited back on the show, but
is that one you haven't seen?
No, I haven't seen Field of Dreams.
Maybe we'll kick Derek off that day and just have the two of us because Derek's already seen it.
Yeah.
Favorite chop shop order. What's your go-to?
So three times I ordered three things. I think the thing I ordered the last time was my favorite. It was like a chicken, like a grilled chicken and prosciutto sandwich. It was so good. The other two times I ordered like a steak sandwich and like one of their hash bowls, like the, what is it, the Korean chicken, something
yeah,
like that. Like
yeah.
All very, very good. I love the sweet potato hash, but I think the chicken and prosciutto sandwich is my favorite. I'm a sucker for prosciutto.
Okay. Okay. I haven't tried a sandwich yet. I
really?
Might have
oh,
to
sandwiches
do
are pretty good. I will not lie. They give you a pickle. Who doesn't love a pickle? I'm a big pickle guy.
It was national.
What?
You gave me your pickle.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like eating it. Oh. I love pickles.
I was like, you literally gave me your pickle.
No. That was on National Pickle Day, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. Leah didn't tell me that.
Yeah, you never would have given up the pickle.
I wasn't
going to
say no.
Yeah, fair enough. I did offer it, so.
If Sean had known it was National Pickle Day, he definitely would have eaten that pickle. But anyway, we love our friends over at Chop Shop. We get lunch from them here in the office once a month, and it is one of the best days of every month that we have around here. So shout out to them. Once again, become a diehard if you haven't already. My newsletter will drop tomorrow, so make sure that you're ready to go for that. Craig, of course, is still doing his monthly mailbags, which are... You know, it might take you 100 minutes to read it, but there's so much great information there that you can't find anywhere else. So it's absolutely worth it just for that alone. Be sure to drop us a like here on the video if you haven't already, and subscribe to us on YouTube if you haven't done that already as well. I think we just crossed over the 7,000.
Yeah, just over the 7,000
mark, if I'm not mistaken. So still going strong there. But be sure to help us out on that front if you can. You can also subscribe on any podcast platform. And if you do that, be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We always appreciate that. I always feel kind of, I don't know if you feel this way, Sean, I feel kind of icky asking people for a 5-star
review. No, I don't. In the words of the great Bomani Jones, leave us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 4-star review, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Like, what's the point? Just leave us 5 stars. Just if you're going to leave a review, leave 5 stars. I don't. I'm not too proud to ask for it.
So go ahead and do that. Go ahead and leave us a 5-star review if you feel we deserve it, which of course you do, right? That's why you're here. That's why you're listening when we're almost an hour into the show.
Do it for this face. And if not this face, do it for this one.
There you go. There you go. You could follow me on Twitter at Jesse N. Friedman, at Sean DePaz.
Underscore DePaz. Sean_DePaz.
Darn it. Should have checked that before the show. You can find Leah at Leah Merrill on Twitter. You can find our DBAX accountant at PHNX_DBAX. But of course, all roads lead to PHNX_sports. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hopefully Twitter continues to exist.
And TikTok. And TikTok.
There you go. And TikTok as well. Thank you all for being here with us today. Brian wants to give us 4 stars for lowballing Major League.
Hey,
but,
don't punish me and Derek for his ratings. I didn't lowball. I said it was in the 80s easily.
There you go. But yeah, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you for sticking with us. For Leah and Sean, once again, I'm Jesse Friedman. We appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you finally let Sean DePaz
yeah, baby.
On the show.